From Moby Dick by Herman Melville. From the Quarterdeck. One morning, shortly after breakfast, Ahab, as was his wont, ascended the cabin gangway to the deck. There, most sea captains usually walk at that hour, as country gentlemen, after the same meal, take a few turns in the garden. Soon his steady ivory stride was heard, as to and fro he paced his all rounds, upon planks so familiar to his tread that they were all over dented, like geological stones, with a peculiar mark of his walk. Did you fixedly gaze, too, upon that ribbed and dented brow, there also you would see still stranger footprints, the footprints of his one unsleeping, ever-pacing thought. But on the occasion in question, those dents looked deeper, even as his nervous step that morning left a deeper mark. And so full of his thought was Ahab that at every uniform turn that he made, now at the mainmast and now at the binnacle, you could almost see that thought turn in him as he turned, and pace in him as he paced, so completely possessing him, indeed, that it all but seemed the inward mold of every outer movement. "Do you mark him, Flask?" whispered Stubb. "The chick that's in him pecks the shell. 'Twill soon be out." The hours wore on. Ahab now shut up within his cabin. Anon, pacing the deck, with the same intense bigotry of purpose in his aspect. It drew near the close of day. Suddenly, he came to a halt by the bulwarks, and inserting his bone leg into the auger hole there, and with one hand grasping a shroud, he ordered Starbuck to send everybody aft. "Sir," said the mate, astonished at an order seldom or never given on shipboard, except in some extraordinary case.
"Send everybody aft," repeated Ahab. "Mastheads there, come down."
When the entire ship's company were assembled, and with curious and not wholly unapprehensive faces were eyeing him, for he looked not unlike the weather horizon when a storm is coming up, Ahab, after rapidly glancing over the bulwarks and then darting his eyes among the crew, started from his standpoint, and, as though not a soul were nigh him, resumed his heavy turns upon the deck. With bent head and half-slouched hat, he continued to pace, unmindful of the wondering whispering among the men, till Stubb cautiously whispered to Flask that Ahab must have summoned them there for the purpose of witnessing a pedestrian feat. But this did not last long. Vehemently pausing, he cried,
"What do ye do when you see a whale, men? Sing out for him," was the impulsive rejoinder from a score of clubbed voices. "Good," cried Ahab, with a wild approval in his tones, observing the hearty animation into which his unexpected question had so magnetically thrown them. "And what do ye next, men? Lower away and after him. And what tune is it ye pull to, men? A dead whale or a stove boat?"
More and more strangely and fiercely glad and approving grew the countenance of the old man at every shout, while the mariners began to gaze curiously at each other, as if marveling how it was that they themselves became so excited at such seemingly purposeless questions.